The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it's officially playoff time, bitches. Woo! Gotta love it. Greatest time of the year is once some playoffs start for whatever sport it is, but baseball playoffs have officially started today. The Cleveland Guardians actually just won game one of their wild card series with the Tampa Bay Rays. They just won 2-1. That game just went final right as I hit record. And now I've switched it over to right now the St. Louis Cardinals and the Philadelphia Phillies are in the bottom of the second inning, tied at zero. So it's great to have baseball on all fucking day. That's what I call a great day to me. But speaking of playoffs, in my fantasy baseball league, I was not able to overcome the team Houston Astros in the championship round. As a matter of fact, TR kicked my motherfucking ass in the championship round. So I am the second place person loser in my league. And Houston Astros is the three-time champion now. I might want to actually investigate these last three championships, though, since he calls himself the Houston Astros, because you know he's referring to the cheating Houston Astros. So I'm pretty sure I heard him banging some trash cans during the championship round, and I think I'm going to have to do my own investigation into this. But anyways, I did get my ass kicked, and we have a three-time champ in the league. So hopefully next year one of us losers can finally kick his ass, or at least beat him, or at least prevent him from being in the championship. But whatever. Congratulations, TR. You did a great job. But now let's move on to baseball. And before I get to the playoffs, let's kind of go over what with all the 2022 league leaders and just kind of how the 2022 season went for baseball. And I will say, as a true baseball fan, I consume baseball. I watch it all season long. I mostly stick to just Giants and Yankees games, but I will, if there's a, you know, an ESPN, whatever the ESPN game is, or, Fox games, during the day, I will check a lot of those out just to keep in the loop, of course. But, it's as a real baseball fan, this has been a fantastic season. I mean, one of the best by far. I mean, so many things happened this season that were historical, number one, and just straight up exciting. I mean, we, of course, got Aaron Judge, who hit 62 home runs. And, you know, Jeff Passan, he's a baseball writer, and he's one of the few respected who's actually does a good job and knows how to be a reporter. But he actually had a great quote about basically kind of the difference between Barry Bonds' record and Aaron Judge hitting 62 home runs this year. And it's better than the typical, Barry Bonds doesn't count crowd, because that's just such a stupid, idiotic take to have, because it happened. You can't sit there and erase it. It happened. And so his quote basically was, Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs, and that is the record. But Aaron Judge hit 62 home runs, which is an impressive, remarkable achievement. And that is true. And I mean, it is the record for the American League, hands down. And I mean, just the fact that it hasn't happened. I mean, what he did this year technically has not happened since whenever Roger Maris did it, which I think was like in the 60s. So basically from like the 60s up until now, we have not seen somebody have this type of a season. And it was just awesome to watch. Like I said, it was great to see him hit number 60. It was great to see him hit number 61. And then it was great to see him hit number 62. It was actually just fun to watch him just all season, because he was just so focused at the plate. And, You know, and a good for him too, because he took a huge gamble on himself this offseason by not signing that contract with the Yankees. He felt he was worth more. He proved he was worth more. I feel like the Yankees are going to re-sign him, but I'm hearing that my San Francisco Giants may be the leaders of the pack who might offer him the most money, which would just be fucking fantastic. But either way, I'd be happy if he stays a Yankee too. But it was just a fantastic season from him. But not only did we get that, but we also got Albert Pujols, who eclipsed the 700 home run mark. He ended up with 703 home runs on the season, which is just an amazing thing. I've loved the career of Albert Pujols. He's just been a spectacular baseball player his entire career. And for him to say just the other day that he considered retiring back in June just because of how awful he was playing, and then for him to stick it out and hit over 700 home runs is just spectacular. So that was great to see. Then also Miguel Cabrera started the season off by hitting his 3,000th hit, which is also a huge mark for baseball. So that was another a great accomplishment on the year. Then I'm going to have to give credit to the stupid-ass Dodgers because they had the most wins and the best regular season of their entire existence. So that's another huge thing for baseball. Then you've got the old dude, Justin Verlander, who is coming off of Tommy John surgery, hasn't played baseball in a year and a half, comes out and just dominates this year. That was spectacular to see. Then we had a rookie come in, Spencer Strider for the Atlanta Braves. He has just had a phenomenal season. He's got the rookie record for strikeouts for the Braves. I think he even got the not just the rookie record, but the actual record for the team. I could be wrong about that, but regardless, he is having a spectacular season. Then you've also got Shohei Ohtani doing what we have never seen in this league, even though Babe Ruth was a pitcher and a hitter. He's most known for hitting, and he actually stopped pitching kind of like midway through his career, whereas Ohtani, he broke out this year. I mean, he just did great pitching, and it's going to be, I hope he's able to stay healthy, and I hope we get another good decade of getting to see what Shohei Ohtani has to show us. And hopefully the Angels can actually become a competitive team, because it would really be sad to see them waste the career of Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. And then the league leaders for the year ended up being the American League home run leader, of course, was Aaron Judge with 62 home runs. The National League home run leader was Kyle Schwarber of the Philadelphia Phillies. He had 46 home runs. Then the AL RBI leader was Aaron Judge, of course, with 131. And the National League RBI leader was Pete Alonso of the New York Mets with 131. Then the AL batting average leader went to Luis Arias of the Minnesota Twins with a batting average of 316. The National League batting average title went to Jeff McNeil, the second baseman of the New York Mets. He hit a 326. Then switching over to the pitching side of things, the AL ERA leader, Justin Verlander, with a league-low 1.75 ERA. NL ERA leader was Julio Urias of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He had a National League-low of a 2.16 ERA. Then the AL win leader, of course, was Justin Verlander with 18 wins. National League winner was Kyle Wright of the Atlanta Braves with 21. The AL strikeout leader was Gerrit Cole of the New York Yankees with 257, which is also a Yankees record, which kind of got overshadowed by Aaron Judge. But hey, he was happy to share in the moment, because that was it. Both moments are huge, but Aaron Judge hitting 62 home runs is a much, much greater accomplishment, at least as a whole for baseball. And then in the National League, strikeout leader was Corbin Burnes of the Milwaukee Brewers. He had 243 strikeouts. Then the American League save leader was Class A from the Cleveland Guardians with 42 saves. And then the NL save leader was Kenley Jansen of the Atlanta Braves with 41. That's how the 2022 season, regular season, rounded out. And now the wild card round kicks off today. Like I said, the Guardians already got their win. Cardinals, Phillies right now is in the top of the third, and it's still tied at zero. But let's get right into what I'm thinking is going to happen this weekend with the wild card round. First, let's start off with the Tampa Bay Rays versus the Cleveland Guardians. I'm not shocked that Cleveland got the first win. Bieber pitched today, so he's top, one of the top pitchers in the league, and you really can't mess with that dude. And the Rays are coming into this series on a 5-game losing streak, which is not the way you want to enter the playoffs, whereas the Guardians have been one of the hottest teams these past couple of months. They're really an all-around good team, and to me, you know, the leader in the American League for me is obviously the Astros. They just have the best overall team. But if there's a team who I feel like is a dark horse to possibly get to the World Series, would actually be the Guardians, because they do have the starting pitching. They do have the bullpen. They do play great defense. They have really good offense. And then they also have Terry Francona as their manager. So they're just an all-around really good, solid team who could sneak their way into the World Series. I just think overall they are a much better team than the Rays. The Rays have a solid starting pitching. The first couple of starters are really good, but then once you hit like the third or fourth starter, they kind of start to fall off. Their offense is very sporadic. So I just think the Guardians are a much better team, and I actually think the Guardians are going to finish the series tomorrow in 2 games. Then the other AL wildcard matchup is the Seattle Mariners versus the Toronto Blue Jays. Both teams are coming in hot. Seattle is, they've just been hovering around being a very good team since right before the All-Star break. They're a very no-name team. You're not going to really know much beyond Julio Rodriguez, who's obviously had a spectacular year. But they're just a no-name team, but they know how to get the job done. Their pitching is put it together. They're hitting. They're able to get hits on really just about anybody. But then the Toronto Blue Jays are basically built the same way. I mean, offensively they are stacked, and they've been one of the hottest teams the past like month and a half behind the plate. So you really don't want to mess with them. And their starting pitching, beyond Manoa, is pretty questionable, but they've really been able to put it together this last month. I do think this is probably going to be the most competitive game of the weekend in the wild card round. But I do have Toronto getting the win in 3 games, just because the Mariners, they're just known for getting to the playoffs and then being an immediate loss. So until they're able to really get over that hump, I can't trust them. And I do think Toronto just is overall a better team. And I've got Toronto winning this the wild card round in 3 games. Then moving over to the National League, we've got the Philadelphia Phillies versus the St. Louis Cardinals. The Phillies kind of backed their way into the playoffs. They actually almost lost their grip on the wild card. But here they are. And the Cardinals, they're kind of stumbling in these last couple of weeks also, but they're just an overall much better team than the Phillies. They have better starting pitching. I think they're better defensively and offensively as well. Whereas the Phillies, you really do have to give it up to them for really turning their season around, because, you know, they fired Joe Girardi back in like May, I think it was, maybe June. But they fired him a few months ago, kind of like at the beginning of the season, and you felt like, wow, I guess there goes Philly season. And actually, it turns out that ended up being a good thing. Here they are in the playoffs. But, you know, I don't really think they have what it takes to beat the Cardinals this weekend. And I actually think the Cardinals are going to get a sweep against the Phillies in 2 games. Then the other matchup in the National League is the San Diego Padres versus the New York Mets. And I think the Mets are going to absolutely dominate this one. While the Mets haven't played that well this last couple of weeks, mostly due to injuries, the Padres just suck. They've really backed their way into the playoffs. And I really, while they've had an okay couple of weeks, I really don't believe in them at all. And I just think the Mets are overall a much better team. It looks like they're going to get Starling Marte back, which is huge for them, because that's kind of why they've fallen off the face of this planet these last couple of weeks. But I've got the Mets sweeping the Padres in 2 games as well this weekend. Now let's get into football. And let's start off with the Thursday night football game from last night. If you could call it a game, it is by far one of the worst games I've ever seen in my 37 years of watching football. Now, I'm sure I've watched games just as shitty, and it just isn't coming to memory right now, But wow, that was horrible. First of all, the final score was 12-9. Indianapolis won. Yeah, it was all field goals all fucking night. This is the first time that a touchdown has not been scored in a game. I think I saw that this morning. It was in 2001 or 2003. It was the early 2000s when the last time that happened. So that's very, very pathetic for this game. And it was just, it was very hard to watch. It was so awful that we got overtime and none of us wanted to see this overtime game. Now I had to finish it, but I was like falling asleep and I could barely keep my fucking eyes open for this shit. And to see the Denver Bronco fans walking out before overtime even started was the perfect showcase of how we all felt about last night's game. I mean, the Broncos offense was straight trash, homie. I mean, everybody on this offense played like shit. Melvin Gordon didn't have a bad game, but I don't know what the hell is up with Russell Wilson in the red zone on like these like little short yardage plays. I kind of feel like whoever is coaching a Russell Wilson-led team, don't let him throw the ball in the red zone. And if you do, throw in a run or two here and there, especially when you have four downs, because that was huge mistakes last night for the Broncos. As a matter of fact, it was 9-6 at one point in the fourth quarter, and the Broncos actually had a decent drive put together. And you're like, oh wow, maybe they're going to score a touchdown here. No, Russell Wilson throws a fucking interception, and I'm thinking, oh, God, do not tell me the Colts are going to actually put together a decent drive and score a field goal. Well, even though the Colts offense was just as awful, I mean, how many times can Matt Ryan get sacked and throw these horrible interceptions? And Matt Ryan, he needs to retire. I'm just saying it right now. He needs to retire. Get through this season and just retire because you're done, dude. But their offense was trash. But of course, last drive, they put it together and they're able to get into field goal range and they tie the fucking game and it goes into overtime. Then, of course, they get a field goal and go up 12-9. And then, of course, we've got to see the Broncos get the ball because, God forbid, the team who kicks the field goal gets the win. No, we've got to make it fair, and the other team just has to touch the ball, and so they did, and they drove all the way down the field, and thankfully for us, you know, most teams probably would have just taken the points and gone with the tie, because that's probably what would have happened. That's kind of how this game should have ended, because that's how shitty it was. But shout out to the Broncos coach for actually going in for it on 4th-and-1 instead of kicking the field goal. Even though they failed, I'm glad because the game finally fucking ended, but wow, that was a horrible, horrible game to watch. Like I said, Indy got the win, but neither team was impressive. And, I don't know where either of these teams are going to go from here. Just saying. All right. So let's get to the rest of the games, which I hope were better than that shit. I don't know how it could get worse than that, but, first game up is we have another London game this week. And funny little note about this game, I think there's been 18 games in London since I can't recall when we started playing in London, but there's been 18 games in London. And this weekend is the first time that they're actually getting two teams with a winning record. So finally, London gets like a real matchup, but I don't really think it's going to end up being a real matchup. I actually think last week's game was a lot more exciting than what's going to happen this week because we have the New York Giants versus the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a 7.5-point favorite, and the Giants are coming in this extremely battered. I mean, Daniel Jones may or may not play. Tyrod Taylor, he's still in concussion protocol, so he's probably not going to play or be available for this game. So who knows what's going to happen at quarterback for them. They do have Saquon Barkley, but he can only do so much. The Green Bay Packers, while they are having their offensive struggles, I think they will work it out as the season goes on. And I kind of feel like this might be a game where they do put together a decent offensive game plan, and their receivers, I think, are going to have a little bit of a better game than they've had the last couple of, at least to start the season. And I've got the Green Bay Packers getting the win 28-10 over in London. Then the morning games. We've got Pittsburgh Steelers at the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 14-point favorite, which actually sounds about right because Pittsburgh is just not good at all. I knew this was going to be a very tough rebuilding year for the Steelers, regardless of what potential Kenny Pickett has. He's going to have his struggles. The Bills, these last couple of weeks have been kind of a struggle for them, but they still are looking like a really damn good team. And I think they're going to blow the Steelers out of the water with a win of 35-10. Then we've got the Los Angeles Chargers at the Cleveland Browns. Right now, the Chargers are a 2.5-point favorite. Cleveland, other than Nick Chubb, is pretty much struggling offensively. They seem to be that team where they can get a drive going, but they just can't finish it off. Jacoby Brissett's really had his issues with late turnovers as well. Defensively, they're really good, but I just think the Chargers are going to be too much. The Chargers got it going against the Texans last week, and I think they're just going to build right off of that, continue on into this week, and get a big win in Cleveland, 31-17. And we've got the Chicago Bears at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Vikings are a 7.5-point favorite. The Chicago Bears' offense is just the worst in the league. It's kind of shocking because I don't know how it could get worse than last night's offense, but apparently the Bears are that much worse. And the Vikings, they're a very up and down team, but they do have the potential and they do have a great offense that can score at will. So if they're able to put it together, and I mean, Chicago has a pretty okay defense, but I just kind of see Minnesota really dominating this game from start to finish. And I think Minnesota's going to get a big win, 28-14. Then we've got the Detroit Lions at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Patriots are a 2.5-point favorite, which I don't really get because the Patriots are not a good team at all. This has got to be one of the worst teams I've ever seen Bill Belichick put together. Whereas the Lions, while they don't have a lot of wins, they have a lot of fight, and they've actually been in all of their games as well. And offensively, they are doing a lot. So I actually think they're going to go into New England, and I never thought I'd say this. I never thought in a million years I would ever take the Detroit Lions over a Bill Belichick coach team, but I am taking the Detroit Lions, and not only am I taking the Detroit Lions, but I think the Detroit Lions are going to smash the Patriots 27-7 because it's looking like good old Zappy is going to be back this week at quarterback for the Patriots because they had to put Brian Hoyer on the IR, and while Mac Jones has practiced a little bit this week, the type of ankle injury he has, it's usually like a 4 to 6 week waiting period. So I really don't see Mac Jones playing this week, and if he does, I don't think he's going to make a damn bit of a difference for the Patriots. Then we've got the Seattle Seahawks at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Saints are a 4.5-point favorite. While the Seattle Seahawks have, their offense went off last week and they've actually been okay offensively, I think it's mostly just because they've played shitty teams. Because when they played the 49ers, they didn't look so good offensively. The Saints, they don't have the 49ers defense. They do have a really good defense. And so I think they're just going to put the pressure on them. I think they're going to set their offense up in good field position to get the score. And I do think it's going to be a kind of close game, but I've got the Saints winning this one 20-13. Then we've got the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. Right now, the Dolphins are a 3.5-point favorite. There's going to be no Tua at quarterback this week. Teddy Bridgewater is going to be in, and he's very capable of getting the job done for the Dolphins. The Jets, they've got a lot of growing to do, but this is a division game. I don't really... I see it being a very close game. I don't see either team really getting out to a fast start and running up the score on the other. I really think it's going to be back and forth. But I think the Jets being at home, I think they've got a spark with Zach Wilson playing. And Miami, the injuries, and you just don't know what you're going to get from Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he is a solid backup quarterback, but that's what he really is a backup quarterback at this rate. And usually backup quarterbacks are up and down at any given moment. And so I've got the Jets winning a close one, 21-20. Then we've got the Atlanta Falcons at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Buccaneers are an 8.5-point favorite. Tom Brady is 10-0 against the Atlanta Falcons, including that epic Super Bowl loss in Super Bowl 51 when the Atlanta Falcons were up and they ended up losing. They were up big on the New England Patriots and then had that epic collapse. And, yeah, ever since then, they've basically never been able to get over the Tom Brady hump. And I don't think that's going to happen this week because it looks like the Buccaneers are going to have probably all their wide receivers. They're getting more healthy. And they're coming off of two games that they've lost. And so I think they're pretty pissed off. And pissed off to Tom Brady and pissed off Tampa Bay Bucs team, I think, is not going to be a good thing for the Atlanta Falcons, who just overall are not a very good team. I think they're going to get stomped 41-13. Then we've got the Tennessee Titans at the Washington Redskins football team Commanders. Right now, the Titans are a 2.5-point favorite. The Commanders, they've been such a pretty atrocious team so far. They have no identity whatsoever. The Titans, they've started to get it going. They at least have Derrick Henry who's had a solid couple of last games. I think they're going to continue that theme on into this week, and I think the Titans will get the win 24-14. Then you've got the Houston Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Jaguars are a 7.5-point favorite. And I think the Jaguars, they've really put it together, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And the Texans, they just are a trash can team. And who knows when they're going to get a win at this point. But I've got the Jacksonville Jaguars just rolling over the Texans 35-20. And then the afternoon games are the San Francisco 49ers at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the 49ers are a 3.5-point favorite. And I just think the 49ers defense is just going to kill the Panthers offense. I kind of see this being a game where there's a bunch of turnovers from the Panthers, a bunch of Baker Mayfield just on his back all day. And the Niners offense just getting set up in great field position. And I could even see the defense for the 49ers potentially scoring a touchdown or two. And I really just see this being a solid domination by the 49ers, 28-7. Then my Dallas Cowboys are at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now the Rams are a 6.5-point favorite. It's kind of shocking that they're that much of a favorite, just because if you've really watched the Rams' offense, they are not the same offense that they've been over the last couple of years. I mean, their play calling hasn't been anything great. Their offensive line has been horrible. And really, their only wide receiver that they have is Cooper Kupp, and the ground attack hasn't got going. So I really don't know why we're still so hard up on the Rams at this point when the Cowboys' defense is actually kicking some ass. So I kind of have a feeling this is going to be another game where Matt Stafford ends up on his ass. He sacked a bunch of times. We could get a couple of turnovers. And I think the Dallas defense is going to set up the offense in great field position. And I think the Cowboys are going to upset the Rams 21-17. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a fan. I actually mean that. I kind of assumed, even before Dak got injured, you know, when you're looking over the schedule before the season starts, I felt like this was going to be a loss for the Cowboys. But after what I've seen from the Rams, they really haven't impressed. And I think the Cowboys defense can really, if they're able to do what the Niners did last week, Cowboys ain't going to have that many issues, I don't think. So I've got the Cowboys winning that close one, 21-17. Then we've got the Philadelphia Eagles at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Eagles are a 5.5-point favorite. The Cardinals, they have been so weird this season that they really haven't. They dominated the Panthers last week, but I feel like that was more just because the Panthers aren't really that good of a team, whereas the Eagles are still the only undefeated team in the league. And their defense, front seven, is that's some real shit right there. And then Jalen Hurts, he's just really carrying this offense. So I think the Arizona defense is going to have some issues, even just stopping what the Eagles have offensively, especially on the ground. But I don't know how many magic tricks Kyler Murray is going to be able to pull against this Eagles defense, because I kind of see him having a really difficult day. And while I've got it to be a close score, I think the Eagles are pretty much going to dominate this game 28-21. And then our Sunday night game is the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite. And the Bengals seem to have finally started getting going offensively. Baltimore, they've just really, offensively, they're looking really good just because, you know, Lamar Jackson's having a phenomenal season. But the defense, they can't seem to hold on to a lead. So we'll see if that ends up being a problem for them throughout the season, because it has been so far to start the season. But this is a division matchup. I really kind of see this being a back and forth between Burrow and Lamar Jackson. But I see the Baltimore Ravens getting the best of the Bengals in a close matchup, 31-30. All right, and now we've got basketball starting on October 18th. That's opening night of the basketball season. So with that, I'm going to be making my NBA season predictions. And today we're going to start off with the Western Conference and kind of how I feel like things are going to go this season for the West. Then on Monday's show, I'll do the Eastern Conference. And then on Wednesday's show, I'll make my ultimate playoff predictions and let you know who I think is going to win the NBA championship this year. So let's go ahead and start off in the Pacific Division. I think the Golden State Warriors are going to win this division outright. I don't see any they haven't changed anything. They did lose Gary Payton Jr. this offseason, but I don't think he was that big of a deal as far as how good the Warriors are. I mean, he definitely played a part in how them winning a championship last year, but I still think they've got a lot of young players, they've got a lot of veteran leadership, and they've got a great coach. So I think the Golden State Warriors are going to own this division. There was some hilarious news. Good old Draymond Green, and the video was released today, and I watched it. He punched his teammate Jordan Poole in practice yesterday, the day before. It was sometime this week. The video was released today, and wow. Jordan Poole, I don't know what they were saying to each other because you couldn't hear any audio, but you could tell they were jawing at each other, and Draymond kind of gets real close to him because, Draymond towers over Jordan Poole, by the way. But he gets chest-to-chest with him, starts bumping him. Jordan Poole pushes him away, and then a coach kind of gets in between them, but then, boom, Draymond Green just pops him right in the face. It gets a good one in, too, but apparently they've kissed and made up today, but apparently the Golden State Warriors are ready to defend their title this season, because they're even fighting their own players. But hey, that's how Draymond do. I'm a huge Draymond Green fan, so Jordan Poole probably said something dumb. That's what I'm going to go with. Then I do think finishing in second place in the Pacific Division, I've got my Lakers. While I don't think, at least they have to stay healthy for me to believe they're going to be a legitimately competitive team. And by stay healthy, I mean LeBron and AD. I don't know why we have not traded Westbrook. After all of this offseason, it was, oh, we're going to trade Westbrook. We're going to trade Westbrook. And it never happened. It baffles my mind why this guy's still here. It doesn't mean he'll stay the entire season. They could trade him midseason, and maybe that's kind of what they're going with. But I don't see why he's still here. He doesn't fit the scheme. But whatever. I mean, I do like the little additions we did make in the offseason, most notably Schroeder. So I do think the Lakers improved. And LeBron, I mean, you never can count out a LeBron James team. He looks great, as always. I mean, he's been having a great preseason. If AD is not able to at least stay somewhat healthy, I think we're going to struggle, just because it can't all be on LeBron. And Westbrook just has proven time and again that he's just not the dude. I don't know why he's still in a Lakers uniform, and I really would like to see him traded soon. But I've got them finishing in second place in the division, which a lot of people aren't. As a matter of fact, a lot of people, for some reason, are picking the team that I've got finishing in third in the Pacific Division, and that would be the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers have done nothing, I mean nothing, to prove that they're even a competitive, legitimate team. There are people, like, they are one of the championship favorites to win this year. And that's the most laughable shit of all time. The Clippers haven't proven they can win a goddamn thing. Has Kawhi Leonard proven he could actually stay healthy? Has Paul George proven he could stay healthy? Has John Wall proven he could? I mean, John Wall hasn't played in, what, like a year and a half? So, all of you people need to step the fuck off the Clippers, because they haven't done shit to prove that they are a team to be predicted as a championship team. Maybe a playoff team. Sure, I'll give you that. But they ain't, no way is that team better than the Warriors or the Mavericks or the Grizzlies or the Nuggets. For Christ's sake, come on now. That's a fucking joke. But I've got them finishing third because, unlike the rest of y'all, I'm not deluded. And I don't fall for this stupid Clipper hypnotization that's been going on for many years now. And they fail every fucking time y'all go in on them. So, good luck with all you idiots who are predicting the Clippers to win the championship this year. Ugh, you dumbasses. Then, at my number four team, because you notice I haven't mentioned a team in the Pacific Division who's pretty much dominated the last couple of years, and that would be the Phoenix Suns. And the reason why is not, it has nothing to do actually with their owner, because all the owner turmoil and drama, that's been going on actually for a couple of years now. Actually, it sounds like it's been longer than that. But I mean, they have actual turmoil between like their coach and their players. When they started their training camp, DeAndre Ayton was asked if he has spoken to their coach since the finals, because he was benched. And that was a big deal. And or not the finals, in the conference, or in the playoffs. Because the Suns didn't make the finals, since, you know, the Warriors are the champions. But after Ayton got benched, he and the coach have not spoken still. Now, maybe they've spoken now, but when training camp started, he said no, he had not spoken to him, and it didn't look like he was really happy to even hear a dude's name. So I just don't really think Phoenix is going to be able to overcome their inner turmoil. It seems like a lot of players are not on the same page as their coach, and that's never a good thing. So I actually have the Phoenix Suns. I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs. And if they do make the playoffs, I think they're going to be one of the lower seeds. And then rounding out the Pacific Division, I got the Sacramento Kings, because they suck. And that's all there is to it. Moving on to the Southwest Division, I've got the Dallas Mavericks winning that division. Now, most people are leaning towards the Grizzlies, who I think are going to finish in second. But I just kind of see the Mavericks finally taking a step forward and being a very dominant team this year. Luka, I see him improving on his game and just getting better. You could tell he's really poised to become the next superstar, and I feel like this is going to be a year where he kind of takes that to the next level. They have a whole year now with Spencer Dinwiddie, who they traded for last year and really made a huge difference toward the second half in the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to work together for an entire season. And so, yeah, I actually have high expectations for the Mavericks this year. Then the Memphis Grizzlies, I have them coming in second place. I still have them as a playoff team. It's just, for some reason, I'm just leaning towards the Mavericks. You know, there's always slight changes in what happens from the previous season. And just for some reason, I think the Mavericks are going to be a better team than the Grizzlies. I do think the Grizzlies will still be good. I still think they'll be a playoff team. And Ja Morant, I see him just getting better, but I just see the Mavericks getting the better of them, at least in their division. Then at number three, I have the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, so far, everything with Zion is actually working out. The dude is not injured yet. He's not a big fat fuck. He actually looks like he's in great shape. Brandon Ingram, he's been a phenomenal player. Both of them have injury issues, so that's kind of why I can't really have high expectations for them this year. I do think they're going to be a very competitive team, but with those two, are they going to be able to maintain their health throughout an entire season? If they are, you really got to look out for New Orleans, just because those two guys alone are going to be a lot of points. I mean, Ingram is more of a, he could get you outside. He could get you in the paint as well, but he's got great outside shot. Whereas Zion, he could be the paint guy. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Pelicans. And if they're able to stay healthy, they should be a really good team. Then at number four in the Southwest, I've got the Houston Rockets. Not a good team. Nothing to really say about them other than they're probably going to be pretty bad this year. And then rounding out the Southwest Conference, I feel like it's going to be the San Antonio Spurs. I don't know what the hell this team is doing. I kind of feel like the same way about Popovich that I do Bill Belichick. It's like, this is the team you're putting out on the court. I mean, last year's team wasn't that good. Actually, the Spurs haven't really been good since Tim Duncan retired, as a matter of fact. So, I feel like the Spurs are going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year, unfortunately for you Spurs fans. And then the Northwest Division, I've got the Nuggets winning this division just because, Jokic, he's been proven to be one of the most unstoppable players in the league, and I don't really see anybody putting up a huge fight because pretty much everybody else in their division is very questionable. So I've got the Minnesota Timberwolves finishing in second because I don't know if all three of those big guys are going to work together. You got Rudy Gobert, who's apparently going to play the center position. And then so we're going to have Karl Anthony Towns. He's going to switch to the power forward position. And then you've got Anthony Edwards. So they do have a lot of good talent, but I don't know if they're going to be able to put it together. And until they prove they can put it together, I really can't believe in them. So I feel like they're going to be a playoff team, but I don't think they've got enough to actually beat the Nuggets for their division. Then at number three, I've got the Portland Trail Blazers. Just because you never know what's going to happen with Damian Lillard. If he stays healthy, they should be a competitive team, especially because they did pick up Gary Payton Jr. in the offseason. So I think that's a great addition for them, especially on the defensive side of the ball, which is really where they've needed the most help lately. But if Lillard's able to stay healthy, they should be a competitive team. And I've got them finishing third in their division. Then I've got the Utah Jazz at fourth in their division just because they basically traded away their entire team. They have a new coach. They have an entire new thing going on here, so I don't expect much from them. And then rounding out their division, I've got the Oklahoma City Thunder just because they suck, and they even lost their rookie for the entire year. So, yeah, I don't expect much from the Thunder this year. So we also have Texas Longhorns versus the Oklahoma Sooners this weekend. So looking forward to that. I can't believe it. The Longhorns are a 9-point favorite, which is just fucking awesome. We're getting Quinn Ewers back at quarterback. So it's going to be a good game. I'm not expecting a runaway in either way, but I'm looking forward to hopefully a Longhorn win this weekend. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I got the Longhorns winning a close one, 45-41. So, hook 'em horns, motherfuckers. Enjoy this great weekend of sports. We've got tons of baseball, tons of football, college football, and we just got sports out the ass, and it's a great time to be a sports fan. So I hope you all enjoy your weekend, and I will talk to you motherfuckers on Monday.